Attention, spoilers are beginning now.
Sci-fi party line.
Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Hanako.
Hello.
Today we are discussing Supernatural.
Yay!
Yes, it's fall. Our fall shows are back. We're getting back in a groove. Kat is employed.
So. Yay!
Things are gonna start to be, unless like I become unemployed by no fault of my own, you know, things are gonna get back to normal.
Yes.
I'm happy about that.
And we need it.
Yes.
Because we haven't done, I don't think we've done Supernatural in quite a long time.
You're right. And this is its 12th season.
Yes.
Right? On the CW. We thought, like, what else could they do to make Supernatural interesting, because there was this time a few seasons back where I was just like, okay, let's kill it because it's getting tedious. And then something happened in the past season or so where it's just become compelling again. And not to mention that this 12th season is so you know, I don't like shows with drama and emotion. But the drama and emotion after we've been with Sam and Dean for 12 years, I'm feeling it. Like, I feel like I'm part of their family. I feel like, you know, I'm Dean's little sister, just mute and can't be seen, invisible or something. You know what I'm saying? Just traveling along with them. And so I guess you want to do one of your trademark recaps, kind of just briefer than the Fear of the Walking Dead one, Hanako.
But yes. Well, you know, we were trying to catch you up because you hadn't seen any of it. So,
well, that's for all the other people who quit walking Fear of the Walking Dead as well. So we're not going to talk about that monstrosity.
We're not. But basically, let's put it in a nutshell. We found out last season that God has a sister, and that she was the darkness, and that she came back looking for God because she wanted to seek revenge for him and Lucifer putting her in a box or in a cage thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago. And let's just say last season was very interesting. The darkness had some kind of bond with Dean. And that made things a little bit interesting because Dean wanted to get rid of her, but he physically couldn't because of this bond he had with her. And towards the end of the season, God finally decides to show up, and through a series of events, he and the darkness made up.
We got to say who God is, because this has been a long time coming. And I think
kind of figured that
think you called it, but you know, I wanted somebody else to be God because it would have been like really epic, but it's impossible now. But
you know what? I always, you know, when they first started teasing it, and it was the, well, is Chuck, you know, is he God or is he not? I think for me, that question was really answered during the musical episode when he shows up at the end as Carver Etlin. I don't know, something about that particular episode just kind of cemented for me. Oh yeah, he's God. And then, of course, he disappears again, and we don't see hide nor hair of him. We don't hear any mentions of him, which, for me, kind of also cemented that. And then, of course, we got the confirmation just a couple of episodes before the end of season 11 when he revealed himself to Metatron as God. what?
Everybody knew before... It was revealed that what's his name again?
Chuck
was God.
Carver Etlin.
That Chuck was God. You know, I was on this really big campaign for Jeffrey Dean Morgan to be God, and for him to come back to the show. We know that's never going to happen now because he's Negan. He's a big deal. Blah 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 blah.
I don't know now because if Mama Winchester can come back.
Yeah, but she's not as big a. Well, I mean, she's not a bigger because he's a really big star now, and he's like he's been in several movies, and people seem to be like him, and it's like, oh, he's on TV. He can go on Walking Dead, but he can't come back to home. He can't come back home. You know what I'm saying? And yeah, so it's just like I wanted him to be God, and for him to not know he was God or something. That way, Dean being like the tool of Michael and Sam, you know, having all it would make sense that they were so special because they've been like in the middle of everything having to do with heaven and hell for 12 years. They've been so close to everything. To me, it would have made sense, but it also makes sense that Chuck is God as well because he's the writer. He's, you know, he wrote the whole thing. He has some fanfic. And I also, I thought Chuck being God was kind of great, mainly because we got to see what a God, kind of somebody who's an entity who's separated from humanity, who's so old, who's so powerful, who's so over it that they can't relate to the problems of the everyday human. You know, so I thought that him being out of touch with what we need, but how he got out of touch with it, with us, and why he's hands off was a really good explanation as well.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I think they handled that whole storyline very believably. It was very believable. And I kind of felt like the conclusion of that whole God versus the darkness or God versus Amara thing, I felt it a little bit anticlimactic. I thought there was going to be more. Not that I'm complaining about how it ended.
Like, what were you expecting? Like, what?
I don't know. I guess because they sent... you know, the fact that they kind of made up with each other and went off to, I guess, repair their relationship and they just kind of, you know, floated away. I don't know. I think I expected a little bit more of a battle, even though Amara did, you know, she did effectively kick all of their butts to the point where God was dying. And, you know, I think she made her point, but I don't know. I was expecting a little bit more. I don't know, especially since Dean was walking around with like a heavenly bomb inside of him. I just expected more. I don't know. But either way it goes, I'm glad we didn't have to go through the whole kill a Winchester off and bring him back from the dead. I'm so over that. So I'm so glad we didn't do that.
And then speaking of kill a Winchester off and bring him back to life. So Mama Winchester is back. And I mean, don't you just feel like she's getting ready? She's going to die at the end of the season anyway. So let's not get attached to her.
She might, but I think she's going to do some serious damage while she's here because it's kind of like, yeah, she's trying. It's hilarious trying to see her trying to acclimate to 2016. It's kind of like watching Ichabod Crane and Sleepy Hollow try to catch up with the times. You know, she's trying to figure out exactly what all of this stuff is, the internet and cell phones and the tablets and
She's taking the place of Castiel when he used to do it, really. So we have that fish out of water person again, right?
Yeah, but for, I don't know, for some reason, it just, I don't know, it makes me happy to see it. I don't know. The scenes where she and Dean kind of connected and then the scene at the end of the last episode with her and Sam, those just really made me happy for some reason. I don't know.
They were supposed to make you happy, Hanukkah. They were supposed to make you happy and they were supposed to make you feel, and the way they had two different responses. I don't think we got full Sam response because we were doing...
No. I definitely agree with that, and I think there's got to be some more because after the initial shock and joy of the fact that he finally gets to be with his mother, because we have to remember Sam was only 6 months old when Mary died,
right?
So he in effect has never known his mother, except through recollections from John and Dean and the couple of times that they've met her as a ghost or, you know, whatever. But at some point, that whole conversation where she talked to Dean and she said, how am I going to face Sam if it wasn't for me? You know, all of this is because of me, because she promised her secondborn to Yellow Eyes in order to save John's life way, way back in the day. So I'm kind of.
I
want to see that confrontation, but at the same time, I'm kind of like, that confrontation, I don't know if I'm ready. I don't know. I just want them to be happy for a minute.
I don't really want them to deal with that, because I thought that the reason why she probably offered up her second born to Yellow Eyes because she thought she would get out of it. You know what I'm saying? Because she was probably cocky or something like that, and she honestly thought she could get away and something would happen to where she could kill the thing before that would ever happen.
I agree with that.
So,
especially given who her father was, because we saw a couple of seasons back when Sam came back with no soul, he also came back with her father, who we see was kind of a cutthroat as far as hunting goes.
Skinner?
So, yes. Yes. So,
Skinner Winchester.
So it's reasonable to think that she would probably, especially with the comment that she made in this last episode when Dean asked her something about what she must have been a good hunter, and she said, yes, she was. So, you know, that makes sense. She probably thought, oh, I'll get out of this. And, you know, then again, at the same time, she probably wasn't thinking about it at the time. She was just like, oh, I need to save John. Because at this point,
Winchester move, though, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, it wasn't even a Winchester move, because she's I cannot remember what her maiden name
whatever
was.
Whatever, it runs in the family to make those types of deals. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Let's take a step back to the premiere episode. That some of the things that happened with Dean, like, I didn't think that. You're right in that it was an anticlimactic end, but I think if it was an all-out destruction, then she wouldn't have a happy moment to where she would give Dean what he needed, which was his mom, right? So it would have went a different direction. And then, like, if she probably would have gave him evil mom or, you know, this some weird version of her, but he gave him her. Now, one of the things that really stood out to me was mom's response to baby.
Yeah.
Oh my God, when she was sitting there, it's like, hey baby, how you doing? Looking at that back seat, and they were both smiling, and then Dean was smiling at her, smiling at the back seat, and then Dean was like, wait a second, we're not smiling about the gross.
Right. That was funny.
That was like, the
he had
best.
A light bulb moment, like, oh, wait. Oh, yeah, I don't want to think about my mom and my dad like that. So yeah.
Oh no way.
But it's also been nice seeing just her emotional response to John, because we have to remember the John she remembers and the John that the boys grew up with are two completely different Johns.
That's a good observation, yeah.
Yeah, because at the time of her death, John Winchester wasn't even a hunter. He didn't even know about that side of her life. You know, it was only because of what happened that he started investigating and finding out. And that was how he became a hunter, was because he was trying to figure out what happened to his wife. So, you know, we don't get the same, you know, we saw glimpses of the love John had for his boys, you know, during the few episodes that we were able to see him in. But most of the time that we saw him, he was really like hard-nosed, you know, drill sergeant type of, you know, dad with the boys. He didn't really show a lot of emotion. He didn't really show a lot of warmth, except for, you know, the day he got killed, when Yellow Eyes took him. And then a couple of times after that, when he saved Dean, when the gates of hell was open, and just a couple of other times. So, you know, it's funny seeing Dean and Mary talk, and Mary says something to him about, you know, John was such a good father. And it's like Dean kind of wanted to retort that, but at the same time, he was like, well, you know, he did the best he could under the circumstances, but it's just, it's going to be interesting to see how Mary reacts once she starts learning the full truth of everything, you know, whether or not that's going to change how she feels about certain things or how she approaches things. So, you know, I mean,
it's all situational. If they had a normal life, then, I mean, whatever, but they didn't have a normal life and things just happened the way they unfolded. I mean, there's no manual for being a hunter unless you're British, which they have a manual and they have it all together, apparently. So I guess we could talk
apparently
about...
Apparently not if they still got bested by the Winchesters.
Well, tackily, the only reason they got bested by the Winchester is because somebody went off script. Right, and it was the girls. I'm really sad that the bouncer girl got killed because she was kind of badass.
I don't know. She tortured my Sammy. I'm not too much a fan of her.
I was hoping that she wouldn't, so maybe they would stick around and form an alliance. Or something. I thought maybe they were gonna like threaten to torture, but not torture. But once she like blowtorched his feet, I'm just right. Like, who does that?
Right. I was like, die, bitch, die.
Yeah. So. So I want to.
But I don't know. This whole it's interesting seeing this whole, the British side of the Men of Letters because you know apparently according to them. You know, they pretty much take care of any supernatural threat without,
without world ending,
right? Well, I mean, you know, obviously they're not important enough to even be on that, you know, on that level. So I don't know, but you know, she made a big to-do about pointing out that. They're able to, you know, quickly take out any threats and they don't have a whole bunch of innocent loss of life. And, you know, they do this quietly and discreetly and blah, 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 blah. And
that's because the British portion, the landmass that they have to cover is smaller than America, number one. And they've been a country longer. They've learned how to ward things. They've warded a whole lot of things. Sam and Dean, he went to Stanford, but they're not really organized. They don't have all of the hunters in America aren't organized as they should be because they all have different rules. They just hadn't come together. It's a Wild West. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I was hoping you would come up with this, and I think maybe you have, and you just haven't gotten to it, though. But doesn't the Men of Letters who have been dealing with mystical things feel like it's somehow tied to Harry Potter? And their magical muggle thing versus, you know, like something comes out and they take care of it. So there's some, you know, preventing all of the things that goes along and magical world from coming out into the muggle world and they take care of it. And to me, it's just like, okay, this feels very Harry Potter and I'm kind of excited.
You're saying they feel like the Ministry of Magic.
Yeah, they do. They do. And I'm just like, this is a little exciting. I know I'm reading too much into it, but to me, it feels like if they weren't such assholes, that maybe there's something to this and I would like to see them be friends. But I think the reason why they put them they made them as assholes so we can see them evolve into a friendship, you know, or something. And it would take longer over the course of the season for them to trust each other, which that might be long if that's the only thing that they're going to do.
I don't know. This Mr. Ketch scares me. Somehow, I don't see him being friendly with the Winchesters.
I still don't understand why they're so angry. I mean, they're on the same team, really. Essentially, they got, like, I don't see what's so hard. I don't see why Mr. Catch is a thing. Like, why does he need to be involved? Why do they need to employ him? Why is it going to go wrong? You're all on the same team. What are you doing that you can't just have a conversation with Sam and Dean about what's going on in America? See if you can help and then move along. I don't understand what this whole tension thing is about.
I think part of the way I read it was it's about a lack of control. The British, you know, she basically in the hallucination dream where she and Sam were in bed talking and trading, I guess, secrets, she said that all hunters in, you know, in Britain work for them. So basically, that particular Men of Letters chapter is in charge of all the hunters. They know who's who, who's what, who's doing what. And they basically control the whole thing. And I think maybe what bothers them about the Americans is that there is no hierarchy when it comes to that sort of thing. It's like the hunters don't even all know who are all hunters. You know, we got to remember a couple of episodes ago, Dean and Sam met two new hunters in another town who had been hunting on their own. And I think it's kind of that lack of control that bothers them.
But isn't the reason why there's the lack of control, whereas there was a control at one point, because they do have the Men of Letters chapter, but they were wiped out, right? And then nobody was there to pick up.
See, the thing is, the Men of Letters, yes, they dealt with supernatural stuff, but I don't think they were the only, it was never that they were the only faction of hunters. I think they were just the more organized, and they know a little bit more about other things other than just, you know, weird animals going bump in the night. But I don't think it was ever just a lone faction. You get what I'm saying?
It's kind of like
you have the government, and then you have these smaller, you know, police departments, and then even within, you know, you have like neighborhood watch groups. I guess that's kind of how I would look at it. Like the Men of Letters is like the government, and the hunters are the neighborhood watch groups. Like, not all of them are registered, but they're all there, and they're all, you know, they have their own purpose or their own you know, duty, and it just kind of, sometimes you kind of cross each other on them. So
yeah.
I don't know, but you know, it's kind of like that old thing about, you know, I guess a friendly sort of rivalry with the British, where the British always, you know, think they're better than us, and we think we're better than them. And, you know, I mean, we see it in everything in film, where, you know, whether it's, you know, our superheroes or our you know, literary heroes. It's just, there's always like a competition between the Americans and the British. So,
well, I mean, we've already proven that we're number one, USA, USA. So, I mean, that's already been decided.
Right. So, you know, but, you know, it's fun because we really haven't seen ever, I don't think, where supernatural has really traveled outside of the States. I mean, we may see an episode here, an episode there, or we may have some guest stars or some guests, you know, some temporary characters that are foreign, but never on this scale. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. But again, that Mr. Ketch scares me.
So
he reminds me of the way that they talk about him is kind of like, I can't remember the character's name, but the cleaner on Nikita, where he would come in and just kind of take care of people.
Or the Mr. What's his face in what was that one movie with Mr. Pink and Mr. White, was it Pulp Fiction? That was Pulp Fiction, I'm sorry.
The wolf.
Yes.
So he not even seeing his face, not even knowing exactly what his purpose is on the show, just the way that they refer to him, even the British chick, I cannot remember what her name was, but she was she also played Valerie on the Vampire Diaries last season.
Damn Vampire Diaries,
huh? I'm just saying that's why I keep,
you know, we broke up with that show.
I want to say Valerie, but I know that's not her character on Supernatural, but I cannot remember what her character name was, just the, you know, the bossy chick. But
because British women always
when the bodyguard chick was like, well, do we need to bring him in? She was like, oh God, no, I never want to be in a room with him ever again. So it's like
so much. She was badass. She had knuckles with sigils on them, so she can like knock the hell out of humans and angels. I loved her. She was badass.
She was badass, but she cheated. She wouldn't have been able to take them on without
Yeah, but it's not cheating. No, it's salty. Being smart.
I'm salty.
Not
I'm
smart salty enough, especially when Mama Winchester just ices you in the back. So
I know. But while we're talking about this, okay, so let's get off of that subject for a minute. I need to talk about Rick Springfield as Lucifer. I love it.
I
love Mark Pellegrino. I hope we see him again. But this for right now, Rick Springfield is giving me life. He really is.
So that,
I love it.
It's different, and he brings that what's the guy who bit off the bat head?
Ozzy.
He brings that Ozzy feel to it, that old school. Oh, you're listening to this type of music? You are worshiping the devil? You know, that whole stereotypical satanic rock star thing that they have sometimes. And I completely enjoy that. So
it's fun to watch.
But I when you say Rick Springfield, I'm thinking of somebody totally different. Because I really don't know who he is, though. Like, I know he's badass, but I don't know who he is.
Okay, well, he's acted, and he does, you know, he's done music. He was on General Hospital for a long time. I think he actually recently went back to General Hospital in the last couple
years. I mean,
does
he have
a
song that everybody knows or something?
Who? Rick Springfield? I can't talk now. Rick Springfield.
Yeah.
Yes, Jesse's Girl.
Oh.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
That's like the big thing. But he's been, you know, he's been in a couple of other things. He was in Californication.
I didn't watch that because I didn't want to see David Duchovny in anything other than Fox Mulder.
Okay, you have to go back and watch that show. That show was
no,
awesome.
Thank
but
you.
Anyway.
Nope.
But anyway. So, Rick Springfield is now Lucifer. And Crowley and Rowena thought they were really about to put him back in this box. And, you know, I have a love-hate relationship with Rowena.
Yeah.
I like her character. I like that she's such a smartass and that she can't stand her son. But at the same time, she gets on my last nerve.
I kind of am amused that they're keeping her around, because to me it feels like the writers like her and they've killed her so many times, but they just keep bringing her back. And she's like, you know, we like her. And so,
yeah. That's but I mean, it's the same thing with Crowley too, because I really, for a minute, I really thought Crowley was going to bite it last season.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wait, they can't kill him off. What?
He is debonair. I mean, that's not even a word that I would really want to associate with him. But once he starts speaking and he used the low tone, I'm just like purring like a cat. Because that dude's voice, you know how I am about voices. And guy's voice is just majestic.
I know. You want to hear the funny but sad thing about Supernatural for me?
What?
The Supernatural convention was in Atlanta this weekend and I could not go. Like, they are literally 15-20 minutes from my house and I could not go.
One day.
But it's gonna have to be I won't even talk about that. They just that company that puts on that con, they're so ridiculously expensive. So yeah, and when you're used to playing, like, you know, $100 for a whole weekend of Dragon Con with 400 people, and, you know, that con wants $175 for a 6-hour Sunday preferred general admission seating. Yeah, it's kind of, but anyway, yes, they're about 15-20 minutes away from here. I couldn't go. One of my friends got to go though, so she's been tagging me and all her stuff to keep me posted. So,
at least that's,
I love
you
it.
Know,
yeah.
You can kind of, yeah, you know, go vicariously through her. So.
Yeah, I know.
That's fine. That's fine. But I really can't believe, because I think at this point, this would be Supernatural. Well, I mean, sci-fi horror. So it would be the longest running. It beats Stargate.
Yes.
It's beat everything.
And it's so funny because I started watching Supernatural, the first episode of season 2, way back in the day. And this was, I just came across it by accident. I happened to see a commercial for it. And I was like, oh, that looks like something I would like to see. And I didn't realize that a whole season had already, you know, gone by. So I watched it from the first episode of season two, which was, of course, right after the car accident that Dean, Sam, and John got into where they got hit by the train. And once I watched that, I went back and watched the first season. I've literally been watching it ever since. And I remember back in those early days, it was a struggle. Like, the fans, we had to campaign to keep the show on the air.
I remember that.
You know, I remember that. So it's like, now for them to be, you know, consistently getting good ratings, and they've been renewed now. There's season 12, and there's really been no talk of stopping it anytime soon.
Because the boy said that as long as people want it, they're going to keep coming back. And I'll tell you what, Hanukkah, I was there from first pilot, first season. I saw a commercial for it just like you, but I saw it the first season, and I knew hands down that I had to watch it, and I've been watching it ever since as well. And I tell you what, now, Hanukkah, I don't know what you're doing with your life these days, but there's a couple of other horror shows that you need to be watching. I don't know if they're going to be as long as Supernatural, but I think The Exorcist has great potential.
Stuff like that. I really don't do horror genre. I'm one of those people.
Really? No, Vampire Diaries?
I can do vampires. I can do those kind of things because, for me, that's no basis in reality. I do.
What about Salem? It's the same. Exorcism and Salem is about the same.
But I don't know. Salem I can do for some reason, but stuff like The Exorcist with people being possessed like that on that level, no.
It is literally almost no different than Salem.
I can't do it.
I don't even know.
My children always mess with me. They're like, you're such a wuss, because they try to get me to watch stuff like that. Hey, Mom, come watch Annabelle with us. Nope. I don't like possessed dolls. Nope. So it's just, there are certain things
There's this other one called Channel Zero. It's on Sci-Fi Channel, and it's about this spooky little town where a whole bunch of kids were murdered, and these kids were able to see this TV show that told them to do things and to go places. And there's this tooth monster who is made up of all of the pulled teeth of the little children. And this sounds crazy now that it's coming out of my mouth.
I've seen the commercial for that. Because I think the girl who played and this is what catches me about new shows. It's like when I see the promos, if I recognize somebody that I've watched in another show, I'd be like, oh, okay, let me check this out. But
she's the mom from The Strain.
See, I never watched The Strain, but she was Josh's ex-fiance in Being Human.
No.
The doctor. She was the doctor that came back. They got together, and she freaked out when she saw him change and got hit by a car. So Julia, that was her name.
Okay.
So I think she's in the show. So I've seen the commercial a couple of times. I just haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it yet because I've been trying to catch up.
It's
on
only
everything
two.
We already cover.
It's only two.
Oh, okay.
It's only two.
Okay, well,
of them.
I have that done by. Yeah. I have that done by next week.
So there's only there's only two, and I think it's a slow burn, creepy. I'm not sure if it's gonna make it. And I also think that it might be another anthology show like American Horror Story. So I'm not really sure because I haven't read anything, but the way the name is colonized, you know, it's like something, something, a something Cove Channel Zero or something. So it makes me think that maybe it might go in a different direction next season or something like that. I have no idea, but for some reason that suggests that to me, which intrigues me, which is why I watch it. So The Exorcist, you have Channel Zero, you also have, speaking of American Horror Story, and this season they're doing Roanoke.
Yes, I had heard that, but I haven't watched it yet. I didn't even.
You don't need to watch. You know, every season starts over. anew. You yeah, don't have I know. To do. You don't
I
have know, to
but
catch
I
up.
I still want
to
go back and finish.
You don't have to do that
because I only watched like part of it, but it was so good, and I've heard that it's good. Well,
You were pretty much done. You were pretty much done because you got towards the end where, what's his face was dancing to like maybe Drake or something, and that was like, the second to the last episode or so.
Okay.
You were really.
I didn't watch all the episodes back to back. It's like if I happened to go downstairs while my daughter was watching it, I would sit down and finish watching the episode with her. But I never consistently watched the whole season. So, but that season was the first season that made me really, you know, where I caught some of it. And I was like, ooh, I think I need to watch this.
This season, I would say hands down, it has one of the best starts, and I like it in that it's. You know, I don't really do race on this show mainly because I like to enjoy characters and I like the genre. But this, to me, they have like a lot of black characters this season, and they're not stereotypical black characters. They could be white characters. They could be Asian, just regular American characters that just so happen to have dark skin. And I think the way they're playing it is really fantastic, and it's just, I don't know. It's just really well done. And I think I respond to that because I don't want to see like drug dealer black people or, you know, this stereotype of these are just like people who just happen to, you know, go to this house that they shouldn't have bought and shit goes awry. And it's, and it's very interesting and it's very good. And so they could have cast pretty much anyone. And I think that's why I responded to it, because it's a universal story. Okay. And so I like that. I'm all about the creepy shows for this season, which is why I love Supernatural. And, you know, some of the shows I'm not into so much anymore. I'm not sure about if Sci-Fi Party Line may get into the superhero shows as much. They're just not feeling them.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I love, I know you want to, I know, but I'm just, I don't know. We'll get there. I'm going to watch Luke Cage. I promise. But I watched like 1 minute of it and was bored.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? I can't even respond to that.
I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about Supernatural. I'm sorry. It's like, I turned it off. I was like, oh my God, this is a chore. And I just turned it off. And I was like, I didn't even get to see Luke Cage. They were still in a barbershop. And I was like, bored.
You know what? So, okay. Sci-Fi Party Line listeners, I need y'all to tell her she needs to watch this show. Okay.
But I am I'm enthusiastic about Black Mirror, which is on it on Netflix as well. And it's like, I want to watch that. But you say, watch Luke Cage. And I'm like, it's a chore. So I don't know. I'm going through a thing. I don't know. We'll see.
That's okay. And I've said this for the last couple of months. It's hard to watch everything because there's so much good TV out here right now. And it's not just on cable. It's not just on network TV. Netflix is bringing it. And like cable TV and network TV, they need to get their shit together because Netflix is coming for them.
They are. And so when we started Sci-Fi Party Line, Hanako, there were just like a few shows that we can go to, and all of them we did. And now there's so many, it's a glut, and I'm just overwhelmed, you know?
Right.
But you know, my life is starting to get a little better. And so I want to get on one accord with the things that I actually do want to watch. And guys, you know, Daryl, he has tons of comic book podcasts. I think he has like 8 podcasts. Yeah, he has 8 podcasts, and they talk a lot about comic books, and they're more knowledgeable than we are. Because if I ask, like, so what's Superman real name again? If he have to tell me Clark Kent one more time, I think he gonna murder me. You know what I'm saying? I just, because I feel like I ask stupid questions that I don't read the books and blah blah, so I'm not blah blah blah. So I don't know. Maybe this is not the place, but you know, I'll try because I am caught up on Gotham and I am caught up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But I'm still not excited about either of those. So, but whatever.
Really?
I mean, I watch them only because I have been. But they're not like giving me life like Black Mirror and Westworld and something else. I don't know. But right. Yeah, but and Supernatural, because I'm just, oh my God, Dean and Sam are doing something this season. I don't know what it is, but I just, these guys, we grew up with them. We've been with them for over a decade, Hanako.
You know, I think the thing that's really brought back my love for Supernatural, not that it was ever gone, but there was a couple of seasons where,
oh yeah, child,
it just kind of grated my nerves, and it was because the guys were always fighting with each other. And yeah, last season and this season, they've come to like this peace about each other. Even in the episodes where they disagree, it's kind of like they've matured. Like, they, you know, especially with Dean, because for a long period of time, Dean just worked my nerves so bad because he was so unforgiving of Sam, and he was always catching the attitude for whatever reason because Sam did something that he didn't like, and you know, he would fuss about it, and then he would turn around and go do the same thing.
Ooh, it's supposed to be okay. That was some rough years.
Big brother.
That was some rough years.
So the fact that even now, when they like when Sam at the end of last season, when Sam originally was talking about being the one to try to, you know, fix things, and Dean wasn't down with that. He was like, well, you can't kill the darkness. Let me do this. It's my decision. And Dean was like, he sat there, he thought about it. He was like, you're right. It is your decision. And then he just gave him a hug, like, okay, we got this. And I was just like, what? This is, and it's still, you know, take some getting used to, but I love it. I love the fact that they can actually sit there and disagree and not have this big blowout fight and not speak to each other and all this stuff.
Child, you and me, because they had complete,
they're not lying to each other, right, like they used to. They're being upfront with each other. It, you know, they may kind of skirt around some things, but eventually they get to the point where they spill it, and I love it. And I think this will make them better as a team because they can now work together. So I think all of this chaos that we saw from them the past couple of seasons where, you know, the right hand was not talking to the left hand, I think now that they're communicating better, they can do things a bit better. But this also worries me because this means that there's going to be some kind of big thing that comes in between them. And I kind of sort of have a feeling it might be
Mom
Mary. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, yay, she's back. They get to have their mom and this and the other.
But you got to think, what is the catch? Mm-hmm. What is the catch? Is she a vampire? Right. Is she an angel? Is she a demon? Is it some? She going to have to drink blood?
I don't think she's any of that. I really don't think she's any of that because I think Amara was very sincere with Dean when she said, I want to give you, you know, you gave me what makes me happy, and I want to do the same for you.
Yeah, so but that really broad, that was broad sincere. Was not 100% though. You feel me? She was not 100% sane.
She wasn't sane, but you know what? She never told a lie.
Never telling a lie. But she wasn't deceitful, but like she would kill a whole town. You know what I'm saying? And make them like black oil eyes, and they would kill each other or some craziness. Like, no, like you still, like, you can do that on one hand and then another. Hey, you give me my dad, give me $1 million, bada boom, bada boom. Like, what do you, what? I don't know. There's a catch. There's a catch.
Yeah, I don't know. I like the dynamic that the guys have now, but now that mom is there. And we already see she's about to start this mom thing. You know, when Dean tried to make her stay behind, she was like, I'm your mother.
Have you ever met a chick that Dean and Sam met on the road that stayed in a damn car? Seriously, have you ever met one? You haven't. None right. of them stay in the car.
And then,
of course,
this one is your mother, and she's a hunter. But I did, you know what? I did like when she burst in and said, you leave my boys alone. And the look on Sam's face, he was just like, oh, yes, I know. It was just kind of like,
See, you know how I thought they were going to play it? I thought they were going to play it because Sam had been under the influence of something, that she was going to come in and for like maybe a whole episode, he wouldn't believe that she was real. And then like he'd hurt her or something, you know? That's where I thought they were going to go.
So when they did it the opposite, when they did it the whole different way and the way it played out, I enjoyed it because, like, Dean never said anything, and you know he was probably bursting at the seams to tell Sam, but of course this crazy chick was trying to torture both of them. And so when she comes in, and Sam is like, Mom, Dean's like, yeah. I was like, well, I'm two little kids, and I loved it. It's just, I'm very excited about this dynamic with them, but again, I'm very worried about what the addition to having Mary there will do to their relationship.
I hope they wait a bit, because what I want, right? Because the guys are so sweet. They are chick flick in a way that doesn't hurt right now. Because, you know, like earlier, the first couple of seasons, at the end of each episode, Sam and Dean would have a talk by the car, and it'd be so painful because Sam would be like the chick brother who would be pouring out all his feelings and all these stuff. And I'm just like, oh my God, I'm not gonna watch the end of the shows because they always have this heart to heart talk, like, do you know what a period is and blah blah, and I'm just like, oh my God, would they stop with that? And so, like, but this time around it's sweet and it feels genuine, you know?
Yes. And the fact that they're acknowledging that stuff, like last season when Dean says, you know, he's like, come on, no chick flick moments, and then Sam just kind of looks at him, he's like, shut up, you know you like that stuff. And Dean's like, yeah, I do. Come here. And they hug, and I'm like, yeah, see, this I like.
See, that's good. But those early seasons, child.
They were very like, depressing emotional. Now it's kind of like, it's still emotional, but it's a humorous emotional, because it's like, even when they thought Dean was walking into sure death, they were still trying to keep it light. It was like it was serious, but this is what has to be done, and we're going to joke our way all the way to the end. There, you know, Sam wasn't doing all this ridiculous crying, and Dean wasn't. It felt right.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I, like I said, I love this new dynamic that they have. I love the fact that they're not at each other's throats and, you know, whatever. I like the fact that they're not doing this whole, you know, oh, if you're going to die, then I'm going to try to bring you back. You know, I'm going to do whatever, you know, I'm going to,
you know,
I'm
maybe they're both, you know, die.
Some of the crosswords.
Maybe they both will die, and then, like, their mom will have to bring them back.
But you know what? Here's the other thing, too. Nobody's going to be able to bring them back, because that Reaper chick, she has a boner for them. She's like, yeah,
you guys are not coming back. All it's going to take is that mom to kill her. And then that'll be over. You know how they kill good people. They killed that good British chick that I thought was going to last for whole scenes and doing all this cool stuff. And then mom was just like, choo, see ya. And then they just, so I think that Reaper chick going to, like, roll up and be like, yo, it's time for me to take you. Y'all going to hell for permanent. But blah, mom is, ching, not my boys. And then boom, you're done. I can see that happening already.
Yeah, I agree.
But I don't know. Yeah.
In either case, it's exciting to have Mary back. Because now we get to see. You know, we only know her through Dean's eyes. Because he's the only one throughout the show that is actually given us a glimpse of what she was like. So to be able to see, like, exactly what kind of personality this woman has, like, what kind of puncher was she, you know, how quick is she going to get that back? Because she had given up that life when she and John got married. She gave up hunting. So,
but the way she put her foot on Dean's neck, I'm thinking she's not that rusty. You remember that?
But you know,
she put a grown man on the floor with his arm and put her foot on his neck. Barefoot. In a nightgown.
She caught him unawares. Yeah, but she caught him unawares because Dean was just looking at the fact, like, oh my God, my mom. And he's thinking that she would know who he is because he's encountered her as a ghost before, remember?
Right.
So, but of course, she's been brought back from the moment of her death. So it's like, like she said, it took her a minute. Like, she really had to sit there and think. She was like, I burned. And then that's when things about her life started really coming back to her. But, yeah, if I'm just coming out of a grave and some grown man approaches me, calling me mom, and the last thing I remember was my child was 4 years old, yeah, I probably have him on his ass, too. But it was so funny because I think at that moment, that's when Dean had to really click in his head, like, oh, yeah, she did used to be a hunter. So yeah. She wouldn't know how to do this stuff. You know, she wouldn't know how to do this stuff. But, yeah. So it's going to be interesting seeing what kind of personality she is, what kind of person she is, and just to see her in that mama mode with them. You know, it's like I'm sure she's going to try to maybe make up for lost time, but at the same time, her sons are grown now. Like Dean said, it had been 33 years since she had been dead. So, you know, Dean's 37 now, and which is so weird to say because that first episode of Supernatural, you know, you got to think about Sam saying, Dad let you go on a hunt alone. And Dean said, dude, I'm 26. And it's now he's like 37. It's just
it's crazy.
It's crazy.
It's like we grew up together with these guys. And
seriously.
That's weird. That's a weird cultural thing. I would really like to hear like an anthropologist talk about this in 100 years. Like what type of psychological thing is happening right now? But I don't know. Yeah. But this, I thought that though, what's her name? Amara?
Yes.
She wasn't my favorite big bad, you know? But I like the things that happened throughout the season. You know, that it wasn't just about her, but I thought she was rather weak. I thought that maybe they should have been a bit more biblical historically, like maybe give us some Lilith or something, you know, give us some good old fashioned Old Testament stuff, you know what I'm saying? Or Jewish mythology or something. But or maybe I just don't know my Jewish mythology and she's there.
I don't think so, because when I've talked to people who have watched the show before or who've heard of the show but don't necessarily watch, like my oldest daughter, she stopped watching it a few years ago, not because she didn't like the show. She just altogether, you know, she just kind of sort of lost interest in TV altogether. She's more of a music person. But so when she's asked questions or something, she asked about last season. And I said, well, do you know about the darkness? And she was like, I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is. So I told her, I said, oh, yeah, well, in essence, the darkness is God's sister. She looked at me, she said, God has a sister? And that was pretty much the reaction I got from most people that I talk to who don't really follow. They're like, God has a sister? I'm like, yeah, it's an interesting story. So, you know.
But it makes sense that if he's the light and he's the God, and then he would have an opposite equal, right?
Right.
It would make
exactly.
sense.
Exactly. Exactly. But it's just, I guess that's maybe one reason why we didn't hear so much of her, because of the fact that her existence was a secret, you know, from humanity. And, you know, even with the angels and the demons, she was always just a myth, you know, until she actually came into existence, until Dean and Sam released her. They're kind of like, oh, that was just a myth. That was a rumor. It's like nobody ever knew for certain that that was true until she made her presence known. So, you know, I guess that's why we didn't see her as much as I thought we would last season. You know, it's kind of like she was doing her damage from afar.
And it was like it was more her the scariness of her was her when she wasn't there, when she was an unknown. Like once she's just lady, you know what I'm saying? Just this lady, this brunette lady going around just looking normal. She's not that scary. You know what I'm saying? It's right. Just like whatever. But as a kid and as a teenager, she was really creepy. You know, the creepy horror kid. Type of thing.
The teenager one was especially creepy. She was just, I don't know, the teenager Mara unnerved me.
Yeah, because she was like, she was smart. She was hypersexualized for her age, which was uncomfortable. She had power. Yeah. You know, she could get away with things. It's that whole mean girl, young, whatever. And it's a thing, you know, that that makes us uncomfortable because you can't quite, like, you a grown woman, let me smack the hell out of you. Or, oh, that's just a kid. She's like in this weird in-between phase, like you don't know what to do with that, like, just yet. So,
yeah.
But
she, I mean, she, I will say this though, at least they didn't drag her story out. You know, because even with the whole Lilith thing, it kind of got to a point where it was like, okay, can we be done with this now? You know, it just kind of dragged on too long, and that was during those seasons where it kind of got a little bit tedious. So maybe the writers are doing something different. Maybe they know, okay, let's not beat a dead horse. You know, let's keep it interesting and then move on so that people don't lose interest. So,
well, I agree with you. And I think that for modern TV now, 22 episodes a season is too much. It's beginning to be too much because the writers are getting exhausted. You can do a better story in less episodes without having to drag things out week to week. You know what I mean? So I think, I mean, I don't want less new Supernatural, but I want more quality Supernatural. So I think that if the writers decide to start shortening the seasons, I wouldn't be upset.
Yeah. I agree. But as long as they keep coming with this top-notch writing, I'll be watching season 30. Yeah, I can do that.
Oh my God, what would they do? We'd be tired of them again.
I don't know. It would be so weird to see a 67-year-old Dean hunting still.
Ooh, I you bet know. You he'd be a you know. Sexy 67-year-old.
Have you not? I mean, he really has not changed much. But I mean, neither of them have. You know, Sam has gone through
weird hair phases.
The hair phase, yes. But I mean, just like looking, It's so weird looking at season one photos of them and then looking at them now because it's like they were such babies back then.
I know.
Even though they were, you know, they were grown men. They're the same age,
but I was like, damn, did we look that babyish back then?
I don't know. You know, I had kids by that point. So it was just kind of like, But I'm enjoying it. But, you know, the other thing is now we have Castiel back. So, and we have like, Castiel back. So that whole, we got to see how that dynamic is going to be too. Because not only do we have Mary in the mix, now we have Castiel in the mix. Castiel has to get used to being back around Sam and Dean, especially after everything that he went through by allowing Lucifer to use him as a vessel.
I hope they don't drag that out because it's over and let's forget about it. Let's move on.
Yeah, you know? I don't want him to go into this long overdrawn guilt trip. But
because that was a season like I felt he did something like that, right? And then it was just like, oh my God, what was he doing? He was going to strippers or something, or he was human. What was it? You remember that season?
When he, I guess when he was kicked out of heaven, or one of those times, but yeah, he basically, I think, was it when he lost his grace?
Something.
I think his grace was lost. So he was basically passing as a human. He was trying to live as a human because he really couldn't do much else, you know, without his grace. He has no superpowers. He has no healing powers. He can't, you know, do his apparating. So,
well, I want him to have a job again because I think if he's just running around only helping Sam and Dean, that's going to get tired. But I don't want him to, I don't know what I want him to do now because his battle with the angels it was fine, but it wasn't enough. And to me, it was just like, because I liked Amanda tapping and when she was there and it felt like it was going to really get intense. And maybe that was before we knew if all of this activity would finally bring out God. We don't know. I don't know what I want.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead. No, I'm finished.
No, I was going to say, I think he's going to have enough to keep him busy, especially now since we pretty much know that, Crowley has tucked tail and run. He's left Rowena with Lucifer. And Lucifer has basically already said that you're going to be my puppet. You're going to do what I want.
Well, so, did he say he wanted to use her as bait, but like bait for who? Because I don't think that Crowley feels anything for her
her. He, oh, no. You know, I think he definitely doesn't. But at the same time, you know that he knows that his mother is a very powerful witch. She's probably the most powerful one alive now, because the other powerful ones got killed trying to take down the darkness. Remember, they were all
yeah.
So I think she's probably the strongest one alive now, because she pretty much eliminated some of the others, and then the darkness eliminated others. So I think she's probably head bitch in charge right now as far as the witches go. So Crowley knows he can't, as much as he probably would love for Lucifer to just kill her, he knows that she's strong. Lucifer knows this. So he's going to try to use her to do who knows what. We don't know what's on Lucifer's agenda now. You know, God and the darkness have gone. They've disappeared. So we already know that God is not coming to anybody's beck and call anytime in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, because he's off skipping amongst the universe with his sister.
Right,
which is weird.
So I think Castiel would definitely have his hands full. So, you know, who knows? Maybe he'll be in charge of heaven again. I don't know. Maybe not. Especially since he did agree to let Lucifer be his using as a vessel. Yeah, his brother.
He did it under duress.
No, well, yes and no, but because he readily admitted Lucifer is the only one who can put the darkness back into her cage, and he needs a powerful vessel to do that. So he kept telling Sam and Dean, "I wanted this. I volunteered for this. This is what we need to do."
Because he needed to save the world. He wasn't doing it because, like, he needed to pay his rent. You know what I'm saying? It was still for a greater good.
Right. But at the same time, you got to think about it. The other angels, anytime that Castiel has done anything, it's always been for the greater good. And they've not always appreciated him for that.
Because they're assholes.
They're concerned, let humanity die, leave us out of it.
Well, because they're assholes. So...
Yeah.
I mean, what can you do?
So, I don't know. But yeah, I think he'll have his hands busy this season. I don't think he'll be
idle.
Sam's.
Yeah. We'll see. But this is exciting. I'm still excited about Supernatural as a whole. I enjoyed just the two episodes of this 12th season already. I can't wait to see which comedy episode they come up with this season, because you know they always have a really couple of ridiculous ones that, like, what is happening right now? So yeah, any final thoughts, wishes, or anything like that for Supernatural, Hanako?
Like I said, I just want the brothers to stay on this wavelength that they're on right now, because for me, it makes the show so much more enjoyable. Yeah. And I think it makes them more effective.
Yeah.
You know, when Agreed. They're not bickering with each other. So I just hope they stay this way.
Yeah.
For the time being, at least. You know, there's got to be some kind of conflict somewhere coming.
Let's just hope it's not with each other.
So, but other than that, like you said, the first two episodes of the season I've loved, and it's been really fun just kind of watching them, like I said, reconnect with their mother, or Dean for the most part, because, you know, Dean has one kind of memory of her, and now he's getting to see her, who she is as a person, from an adult's eyes.
Yeah.
So just being able to see that unfold is going to be the very interesting thing this season I'm looking forward to. Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, we're going to look, and, you know, guys, call in 773-336-2686 to let us know what you think about Supernatural. We'd love to hear your thoughts. We'll play that voicemail right on the show and not make fun of you. We promise. Or, you know, send us a tweet. We are at Sci-Fi Party Line on Twitter. And you can do that same search for Sci-Fi Party Line on Facebook. We have a discussion group and a Facebook page. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Once I rose above the noise and confusion, just to get a glimpse beyond this illusion, I was soaring ever higher, but I flew too high. Though my eyes could see, I still was a blind man. Though my mind could think, I still was a madman. I hear the voices when I'm dreaming. I can hear them say, carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Don't you cry no more.
Don't you cry!
Don't you cry!